Welcome to PCMC, I'm Mike Buongiorno. Today, I have a very special guest, actor and puppeteer, Kirstie Moon. Hi!
Hello! It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's so nice to see you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm rather well.
Oh, good.
Kirstie is right now performing in Winnie the Pooh, the new musical stage adaptation, which is playing on Theater Row in Manhattan, Concrete Jungle, Where Dreams Are Made Of. It's on 42nd Street. I went recently with Jen and we loved it.
It's such a fun show to be a part of. It's very magical.
It is magical, actually. You know, I'm a big Disney guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big Disney parks guy. So we use the term magical a lot. It's like a real, it's not like a vague term. It's like a real quantifiable mark of quality.
Yes, yes.
And when me and Jen walked in to the theater and just saw the stage, just saw the woods, we were like, oh, this is magical. This is it. This is the right level.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, our first day of rehearsal, the set was like already up and we were like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. But when we got the lights, that felt like a whole new layer of magic because our lighting designer did such a good job of making it look like a real sky changing like throughout the day. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, can you tell me, how did you get involved in this show?
Sure. Yeah. So I actually have worked with Rockefeller Productions on several other shows. And then they asked me like, oh, would you be open to being a part of a new production? But we're going to have you. At that point, it was a secret. Okay. And I was like, sure, you know. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, they're doing Winnie the Pooh. And so that was very exciting. So I started off in the readings and I started off actually as Piglet and Kanga. But for the current show, my track is Piglet and Roo.
Yeah.
But originally they had thought Piglet and Kanga would be the same person. So I was so honored because Piglet's also my favorite character from the Pooh franchise. So I was just kind of like over the moon, excited about it. And yeah, it's been exciting seeing how it's developed from just like the first readings. Then we did several workshops, which in the theater world, we have like workshops to develop shows. And part of what we had to develop was seeing like, what can we do with these puppets? Like, how do we make these guys like come to life? So I was a part of all of those workshops up until when it opened.
Well, I have to say, like, first of all, you're incredible. By the way, I know this is a rude question. How old are you? You look super young. And me and my girlfriend were, because when you're playing the Piglet, you're on your knees a lot to get down to where Piglet is. And me and my girlfriend were like, my knees hurt from watching her. I'm so old. Actually, all of you guys, I'm like, oh my God, like that running, like I'm sweating watching it.
Yeah.
You're so athletic. I find that so impressive.
Oh, thank you. It is a very athletic show. It was funny. Our director, actually, he did compare us to athletes because of all the work you do. I don't think a lot of people know how physical puppeteering is. And pretty much almost every form of puppeteering is very physical because you're using your body to make something like come to life. And it's very active. In this show, we really...
Really
use our bodies a lot.
What's the name of the young man who plays Winnie?
Oh, his name is Jake Bezell.
He's fantastic. I should say, what your show does is really interesting, where you have these large puppets and you guys are performing them and with them. And unlike sort of like, I don't know, maybe old fashioned kind of traditional theater where maybe it would be a black, you'd be blacked out in like an all black suit with a black background. You guys are wearing overalls that kind of reflect the aesthetic of the show and the characters. Mm-hmm. And like 2 minutes into it, I was like, this, first of all, I'm watching the puppets, I'm watching the characters, and I'm not distracted. But then I'm also like, it feels like little kids playing.
Yeah.
Like it worked so well that I was like, I was sort of amazed. And I found myself sometimes watching the character, but then sometimes watching the performer, because your faces are all, you know, you're really doing it. So it's really, I think I thought it might've been confusing at first, but it's not that at all. It works so smoothly and wonderfully.
Yeah, it does. I think people are getting more used to seeing puppeteers with their puppets on stage. And it really works. I think especially seeing our faces light up kind of helps reflect on how you see the puppets' faces light up as well. But yeah, it's really cool. And for the costumes, which I think are also so beautiful, our costume designer did such a good job. Part of the idea was that, like, we are little kids, but particularly we're Christopher Robin's like imagination working,
yeah,
like bringing all the characters to life. And so, yeah, the costumes are so fantastic. They're like all hand painted and
yeah,
they're like so cool and bespoke. It's pretty awesome getting to where we all feel very special.
I mean, they're really, they both don't stand out in a way to draw your eye, but also aren't trying to hide themselves. There are, you know, there are aesthetic choices. I got one of the, there's like really cool programs that look like little storybooks that you guys have.
The storybooks. Mm-hmm.
And part of those storybooks have like a little bit of the design of the costumes and like pointed out, like, you know, like the, you know, this is meant to reflect. And some of it's really like high-minded aesthetic, like, the gentleman who plays Tigger has like a Jughead kind of crown, which Tigger doesn't have, yet it fits Tigger spirit. Like somehow it's like, yes, that makes sense for Tigger.
Yes, it really does. And he also has stitch work in his shirt too that like mimic the stripes on Tigger. Yeah. And Kanga has, like, if you look closely, like she has like patches on her knees and stuff like that, where like Kanga has patches. And then I wear a shirt that has like little stripes that are kind of mimicking like Piglet's little suit that he wears. So
what's it like to be playing Piglet? I mean, that's like a super famous character. I mean, with also a very specific voice. I mean, the original performer, who I was just talking about this with someone else, he's in The Odd Couple. You ever see The Odd Couple movie with Walter Matthau?
I haven't seen the movie, but I'm very familiar.
He's one of the poker players in the first scene, and you'll know him immediately. He's an old man with little glasses and a bald head, but the minute he speaks, you're, oh, that's Piglet.
Yeah.
And it's such a specific voice. I mean, what is it like to play that?
It's a dream. Like, it's so exciting, because I said earlier, like, I love Piglet was my favorite, and I identify with his nervousness and just like his courage, and he's so brave, and I just love him so much. And it feels so exciting. It is intimidating. Like, we've all talked about it. We're like, oh, but like, these characters are well known, you know, they're like super recognizable, and you want to do them justice. So that was something that we were all very conscious of wanting to make sure all of our portrayals are like as close to the source material as possible.
Right.
Still like our own.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, like, how did you arrive at your voice? Because I think the voice you articulate for Piglet is totally perfect for the character, but not really an imitation of the classic Disney films.
Yes, it is. It's different. Part of it was I had gotten to a point where I kind of sounded more like the movie, but it was a little too quiet. So it was very hard to project in that voice. So instead, I really studied just how Piglet talks to make sure that all of my phrasing kind of matches where he is coming from the movie. But the pitch is a little bit different and a little bit higher and a little bit more youthful, because I'm not an old man. I love Piglet's original voice actor. He's so incredible and so fantastic. But But yeah, I'm not a man, so my voice is just a little different.
This might be a stupid question. Is Piglet, what's Piglet's gender?
Piglet is a boy.
Oh, he is a boy. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, Piglet's a boy. And he's that way in the movies and in the books too.
Oh, okay. So, but the voice you do for Roo, which is the adorable little kangaroo, it's different. You're doing a different voice. So, like,
yes.
How do you keep that straight in your head? Because from one scene to the next, you might be playing both or, you know, switching off.
Yeah. Luckily, they're not super close together.
Right. They're both little kitty, but they're different.
Yeah, they're very different. But I think it also kind of helps physically having different puppets on to know which voice to do.
right.
Because it gets you in a different mindset. I also have a little sweater that I put on too as Roo. And so that also kind of like reminds me that I'm Roo now.
I love that.
Yeah.
Look, it's all adorable because it's Winnie the Pooh, but you play maybe the cutest characters. You played certainly the smallest characters.
Yes, I do play the smallest characters, which tend to be the cutest characters.
Yeah, I mean, not giving anything away, there's a good amount of times in the show where Piglet is up in the air. Piglet is being swept up by wind or holding a kite. And like you kind of, the audience, you know, when I saw the show, there was a lot of adults and a lot of kids. It was like kind of perfect. And you could hear like an awe, especially in the children members of the audience. So like, it's like, oh no, is Piglet going to be okay?
Yeah.
How did you get into puppeteering?
I got into puppeteering. I always liked puppets as a kid. Like I loved the Muppets. I loved Sesame Street. I loved Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
So I always had loved them, but I had never really performed puppets. And then in high school, I kind of just got really bored in my theater class. Mm-hmm. And we ended up repeating an assignment, which I was like really upset about because in high school, I thought I was a very serious actor. like I wanted to go into acting. I was couldn't believe we were repeating the assignment. And so I decided, I was like, you know, I'm going to do like my own assignment and I'm going to do Avenue Q, but I'm going to do like a school version of it, like my own version, like this 30 minutes. And my teacher was very smart in the way she said this. She was like, I'm not saying that you can't do it. I just don't think you could. Mm-hmm. And I think she did that specifically just to give me like the motivation to actually go through with it.
Wow.
Because I like went home, it was like a Friday night, and I like went home and I did a bunch of research and I like pulled out puppet patterns and I like threw it on her desk Monday being like, here's all my plans, and she's like, go for it, you know. So I think she specifically did that so that like I wasn't like, I'm gonna do this, and her being like, sure, and me being like, maybe not. She was like, okay, I'm gonna light a fire under there so that we can get this girl to do this. So
wow.
Very grateful for that.
So all the way back in high school, did you study it in college?
Well, in college, my theater department didn't have any puppetry training. Uh-huh. However, I did let them know. I was like, I'm very interested in puppetry. And they were like, you know, great. We'll include 3 shows that have puppetry in like your junior and senior year. They waited until I was, you know, a little bit further on. But they were like, we're going to have 3 shows, include puppetry. You will design, make, teach, and perform. And so I was like, oh, this is cool. So it was like very, very just a kind and a wonderful way to explore how to do things. And it was cool because it was like I had independent studies.
Yeah.
And like giant opportunities to do these independent studies with my school. And so that was very, really, really cool and very kind of them to give that opportunity to me.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Michigan.
Oh, okay. So,
and then I moved here right after college.
Oh, okay. Cool. Wow. So, but you're doing great.
Thank you.
What's it like when you're on stage and there are lots of children in the audience?
I love it. It's funny with this show because it's like the same amount of children as adults because of how like special Pooh is. But it's always very exciting with children. I do a lot of children's theater because I really, really love children's theater and I love kids. And I just love their enthusiasm. And there's always different like audiences. A lot of morning audiences, kids are a little bit more quiet. And it's funny seeing like the different kinds of kids, because there's kids that are still like passively taking in entertainment. And so they're just like, their eyes are like this the whole time and they're not making any noise. But then later their parents will like be like, all they're talking about is poo and they get home, you know, like, and then there's other kids that just like bounce in their seats the whole time. So it's funny. It's like, sometimes we have an audience of piglets, sometimes we have an audience of tiggers, sometimes we have an audience of poos. So the different kind of characters you kind of see like in the children that are in the audience. But yeah, sometimes they say really funny things. There's one kid where it was when Owl had come on, and then when he left, this kid was like watching Aldo and he goes, "And Owl is," and as soon as Owl like left the stage, he was like, "Gone!" Very loudly for everybody in the audience to hear. So it's
Oh, that's
very funny when
adorable.
you catch like the things that they say.
I mean, it's adorable. I'm the I it, to me it always enhances an experience. You know, I'm never annoyed by little kids. Like last night, I saw the new Ghostbusters movie, and there were little kids, and it was so delightful for them to like go crazy and stuff. You know, you love it. The when I saw the show, not that you're not the star, but when Tigger came out, oh my God, it's like Kanye West came out. Tigger came out, and the children erupted. Like there he is, the celebrity, the man, because Tigger is not in the first scene.
Yes. Well, there's a reason for it, because also in the books, Tigger's not in the first book. He comes in the
Oh,
second book.
wow.
And if you watch the original movie, he also doesn't come until like halfway through. And so part of that was also to mimic like the fact
Wow,
that like
yeah.
Tigger was waited, and also because it gives that excitement of like, when is he gonna come on stage? And so like everybody's kind of just like waiting for Tigger to come on. And so when he finally does, everybody's like, yes, you know. And then his first line, and he's like, "Did somebody call for a Tigger?" And like sometimes the show like stops. People are just like, "We love you, Tigger!" It's like all these giant Tigger fans that are like so excited and so pumped for him to be on stage, because he also has just like that energy that brings that out of people. So it's very fun.
Well, you know what it is like every character is, I think, and I'm not the first person to think this, everyone has thought this, but every character is, I think, a different sort of mental or emotional aspect of a little kid or of Christopher Robin. And Tigger is the sugar high after school jumping up and down in their seat character, where Piglet is more like, you know, I'm a little scared and timid, but I mean well. I'll give you my scarf, but I'm gonna be cold. You know, like the very sweet part of a kid. So, you know, of course, when Tigger comes out, the kids are like, "This is our id. This is."
This is what we all strive to be.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just
Wow.
like joy personified when like Piglet, I mean when Tigger comes onto stage. I'm just like, yes. So very, very fun.
Also, in the lobby, the show sells these very, very well-made plushies.
Oh, they're so beautiful.
They're beautiful. I sorry to tell you, I got the Tigger. No
Oh,
offense.
don't be sorry at all. I'm glad you have one.
No, they're adorable. I'm a plushie guy. I don't know if you can. I don't know if you see behind me. I have a crazy collection of plushies.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, they're beautifully made. But what I was also thinking about was like, it's almost like for you on stage, like if you see a lot of kids with their Piglet, you must be like, those are my people. Because you can see, like when we went, I only saw like one little kid with an Eeyore. And I was like, that kid is going to be the artist. That kid's going to grow up and be the super deep. Like it's almost like, because everyone buys it outside and then goes and cuddles with it watching the show. So you can see what everyone's holding.
Oh yeah, I mean, it is so sweet when you see people in the front, especially like, because we really see the front row. We can see everybody, but the front row is like, we're like, because there's no orchestra of like musicians, so we're like
Super
really close,
intimate.
especially me because I'm on my knees, so like when I'm like front of the stage, we're eye to eye.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's been a few times where kids will have Piglet in the front row.
Aww.
And as soon as Piglet comes up, they just show Piglet. They're like, I have you too. And so it's very, very cute. Or I've seen kids when Piglet is getting swept up by the wind, they'll take their Piglet and like wave it in the air. I've also seen a lot of kids with, it doesn't matter which stuffed animal they have, but when Tigger is singing the Tigger song, there's a lot of bouncing poo plushes and everybody's just bouncing in the audience. It's so sweet. It's so cute. And it's also very charming seeing adults do it with their plushies. Like that's just, we're all kids here and we're all having a good time. And it's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's totally a magical experience. I mean, I can't recommend it enough. It's so enjoyable. What's it like being part of a Disney thing? I mean, you've got the Disney label on this. I would find that intimidating.
Yeah, I mean, to us, it was really thrilling. Like, it was also just very exciting that, you know, we're like, wow, we're working on a Disney show.
Yeah.
And there's something very special about being a part of that legacy of Disney, just because Disney has created so much content that really sticks with you for the rest of your life. And most people, like, they, you know, their first experience with Disney is like when they're very, very, very little.
Yeah.
And this was very exciting because there's a lot of Disney on Broadway. But it's not always accessible to younger kids.
Yeah.
Like The Lion King, if you're three, might be just like a little too intimidating on stage.
Yeah.
Just because as a kid too, like, you know, your senses are very, you know, they're precious. And so sometimes if something is too loud, that could be kind of scary. Or if something, there's like too many lights, that can be a little just too stimulating for very young audiences. So it was very exciting that it was like, oh, this is one of Disney's first theatrical experiences aimed for very young children, for everybody, but something that's very accessible to very young children. So I think that's also just very exciting that we're a part of this like beautiful legacy and the first one to like open a theatrical experience to like toddlers, which is so cool. Yeah,
it felt very like old school Disney to me. Like I said, I'm a huge Disney nerd, and way back in the 30s, one of the first like fan things that they ever did was movie theaters would have Mickey Mouse clubs where like they would give out toys and Mickey Mouse masks, and the kids would come on Saturday and watch the new Mickey Mouse cartoon. And like, you know, there were these great black and white pictures you could find of this stuff, of like these little kids dressed like Mickey Mouse. And so like that's what it reminded me of. Like that part of me was like, this is such pure Disney. I freaking love it.
Yeah. There's some, I mean, like, I feel like all of us feel just very honored to be a part of this experience, especially because it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, this is like, it's a big deal, you know, where it's just like, it's a big deal in that, it's so meaningful to our audiences.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it like a big deal, that makes us feel like very honored, and it feels very special going into work every day. And it's like, it's also thrilling just, you know, at the very start of the show when you hear gasps and you can kind of just like hear the audience getting excited. And, you know, we do hear sniffles during our show too, because there are some moments that like really make people tear up because, you know, it just reminds you of your childhood.
Yeah.
So that's also very special too. Like getting to share that, basically giving people like a gift of joy. Something that is so dear to their hearts. It's very exciting and it's an honor to be a part of.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a sweet melancholy to the show because it takes place over a year. So you go through all the seasons, and as we go and as it gets colder, and, you know, there's that little bit of melancholy, which I love. I mean, that's part of the original books. That's part of, I think, all really good children's media, you know, whether it be Winnie the Pooh or the Muppets or like Where the Wild Things Are, like acknowledge that, like, it's not all perfect and wonderful being a kid. There's a little bit of melancholy to being a little kid. And I feel like the show captured that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also, I guess this is like maybe sort of a spoiler, but we do have a Christopher Robin in our show. We actually have, we have three different actors, three different children who are so perfect. They're so professional. They're so lovely to work with. We're very, very lucky that we have them. But I feel like that's the part when most people were like, when he does come back out at the end looking for Pooh, because, you know, he's been gone at school all year and he comes back looking for Pooh. And when he just goes, Pooh Bear, like, that's when I hear the most people in the audience being like, I'm not ready for this moment. I'm not ready for this scene. So, yeah, it's something that's very, very sweet. And I also feel like as Piglet, like, sometimes I have a hard time where, like, I almost cry. But there's also a moment where Piglet thinks that Pooh is going to be stuck in a tree forever. And Piglet makes the decision that if he's stuck there forever, Piglet will be there forever with him.
Oh, my God.
That's also the moment when I hear a lot of sniffles, or I do hear, like, a lot of times people are like, oh, you know, and it was very funny. One time this one woman was like, oh my God. She's like in the second row, like right there.
I know. I mean, Jen like grabbed my arm and was like, I think in tears. It's as the kids on TikTok say, it's so wholesome. Just like, okay, you're stuck in here, and I'm glad you brought that up, because like this show hits all the classic things, like Pooh getting stuck in the tree. You want to see that, right? And it is in the show, and it's, you know, I think it's really well, it's really well done from the puppeteering point of view. Like, he's in there for a little while and his little legs are always still kind of moving.
The little legs are moving. That's so cute.
Let me ask you about Piglet, the Piglet puppet. Like, he's very articulate. He can move his head and everything. Like, what is it? What's it like operating him and operating something so small?
It's really cool. So this is something that I also feel very lucky for, is because I started with the readings and then moved on to the workshops with them. I feel like I've had like now years of working on this. And so when I first, it was very exciting first seeing all the, just seeing them also made us all cry when we saw the first puppets. Yeah. We were like, oh my God. And then it was very exciting because the workshops were really the time of figuring out like, how do these guys move? What are their limitations? What are all the things they can do? Which is like just really thrilling and really cool that we got to work on. And so for Piglet, they were just like, he is so small. Mm-hmm. So he's not actually going to be attached to you, because Pooh, because he's, you know, much larger, he is attached to Jake, and Chris is attached to Tigger. And there's a way that Rabbit gets attached to Emmanuel. So they're attached kind of their puppeteers. But because Piglet's so small, it doesn't really make sense to attach them. But it actually worked out really well to help getting him more articulate. So he does have a hole in the back of his head. All of them do, for where we insert a hand to operate the mouth. And then for me, I was able to then be like, okay, well, how do I make him walk? And I realized if I just gently put my hand kind of like on his side, right under his armpit, I can help move his body. And that articulates his little feet so it can move. And then I can grab his arm and then point and do all these things. And I like, you know, was like, okay, can he scratch, you know, his back? He can like brush his tummy. He can do his little nose. And then the other thing I realized was, oh, because I'm also so small and because I'm not like attached to the puppet, I can switch which hand I use to operate his mouth, which for me works really, really well, depending on what side of the stage I am, or even like which side of a different character I'm on, to make sure like, oh, I want to make sure like I have a hand that looks really nice in this way. So like for climbing the tree, it's nice to be right-handed because then I can use the left hand to climb. Whereas if I was with my left hand at that point, you would just see the left hand not doing anything. So it's nice that like I can switch hands depending on like how I have to climb. So because there's another time where I climb something, but I can use my, it's because it's on the other side of the stage, I can use my left hand in there so I can climb with the right. So it was a lot of also just working out, seeing like, okay, which hand in the head looks better for this scene. So that also the audience can see very well too.
You were part of this process way back in the beginning of the readings and stuff. Do you work with the puppeteers, you know, in terms like, is there a dialogue back and forth as to like, what you think you might need and what they can do for you? Like,
yeah, so there's a whole other set of builders who they all make the puppets, and they were part of the workshops too. Like, they came in and they show us the puppets, and they kind of also gave, like, this is how we think it can work. Let us know if it's working.
Right.
And so then we're like, yeah. And then that whole, there's a, another process too. I don't have a harness, but like I have knee pads. So that was like another situation we were talking about, like, oh, what sort of knee pads will you need? And then for other people, it was like, where would you like this to be attached, you know, on your harness, or like what works best for you that way too? So we did work very close with the builders, making sure that everything could be, you know, especially for the ones that have to be attached, that it's safe, you know, and protecting their back and protecting everything, and knee pads, like protecting my knees and stuff like that. Yeah. And then it's just very great because you would also sometimes give a suggestion to the builders of like, oh, I would like to be able to do this. And then they're like, sure, we're going to make sure we can, you know, make sure that this can be attached to the puppet in this way so that you can do this scene. So that was also very cool. And they work. And then the other great thing too is, they were also part of, you know, the rehearsals and the workshop process. And too, where if you were like, oh, I'm noticing that, there needs, we need a stuffing refill in Piglet's mouth, you know, stuff like that. Okay. So, you know, because there's like general wear and tear in like every sort of puppet situation. So yeah, sometimes I'm like, oh, Piglet needs his brain refilled, you know, stuff like that, you know? So, and then they're like, got it. And then, you know, like it feels like the next moment that you put that puppet on, it's all like fixed because they're just so wonderful, so professional. And, but yeah, our puppet team and our puppet builders and the designers, they've just done such a fantastic job. When you see everybody complimenting them on TikTok, you're just like, yep, it's true, they're amazing.
the puppets are amazing, and aesthetically they both resemble the sort of Disney version that you know, but also have a little bit of a visual nod towards like the original toys that they were based on. Like they're like Piglet is not the bright red that you might know him. He's a little bit desaturated. I really love the look of the puppets. I almost said toys, of the toys, of the puppets.
I do too. And like, that's because they are supposed to look like toys. You know, they're supposed to be the toys. And yeah, I love the designs. I'm so partial to Piglet. And I love that he has the green, because in the books it's green. The Ernest Shepherd drawings, he has like a little green. I call it his onesie. I don't think it's a onesie, but that's what I like to call it. But yeah, he's wearing the onesie instead of like, yeah, the dark like pink that he normally has. And then his pink looks, his like pink skin looks like a little faded, like because he's a toy and he's
that's been used.
It's so loved. So, but I wish like one thing too that was very cool about the plushies that they sell at our show is it's based off the fabric and the colors that we used in the show. These are like plushies specifically built around our show. And so when we
saw them,
we were like, yeah, they're so soft. And it's just like, oh my gosh. Yeah, we were like amazed when we saw them. We're like, this is so beautiful. But one thing that I do like about the Piglet plushie for our show is, you know, they have the pink and green theme, but he has his scarf. And in the show, it's kind of like a dark maroon, but in the, on the plushie, it's like the particular pink that his onesie is in the movies, like the Disney color pink. And I thought, what a special and cute nod to like include the scarf, just to have that color in the plushie as well. So it like connects even further, like the Disney universe of Pooh.
You can tell that the show is crafted with such like genuine love, because everything, there's so much of the history of Pooh baked into it. Like, I was a huge fan of the 80s Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
There's a famous theme song, which is like, Pooh Bear, Winnie the Pooh Bear. And that makes its way into the score a little bit.
It does. Yes. Yes. Our the score for the show is also, again, so beautiful. I'm sorry to repeat the same words, but the score is so beautiful. And actually our director and creator, that was his like Winnie the Pooh experience as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was particularly like, we need this song in the show. And yeah. We all were very excited that it's in the show. So yeah, it's kind of like in the beginning, you can hear it a little bit. And definitely after our bows, when we're all walking out, it's just a version of that song. And then we also, Corbin Blue for like when we had a video of showing the puppets when we first like kind of announced, he did a recording of that song too. And it's really good. You can like hear his smile when he's singing the song.
It's
it's very cool.
I think if you're like an 80s, 90s kid, like I think that kind of, for me, that sort of was my introduction to Pooh as well. So I like immediately noticed it and like freaked out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it also, you also have very prominent the Sherman Brothers songs, the famous stuff from the movie.
Yes.
And I even joked with Jen before we went, I was like, how great would it be if they just like, cause it's such a banger. I was like, how great would it be if the 80s theme song were in there somewhere? And it was, and I flipped out a little bit.
It's such an Easter egg. It's so cool. I think we also noticed that too, where that's another time where I can hear some like people gasp when they realize like, oh, it's a song from the cartoon. So
yeah. What's your favorite thing to do in the show, like to perform in the show? Because there's a lot of like, I don't know, for lack of a better word, stunts.
I mean, Piglet gets a lot of cool things that he can do. And that part of that was, I was so excited when we had a set, because for the workshops, you know, like, you know, it was like blocks and chairs, you know, you're just kind of, you know, it's the workshop, so you don't have the full set yet. So, you know, climbing a tree was, you know, very different.
Right.
And so like having a real tree to climb was so cool. And like, it was so fun. And like actually being able to see it was very exciting. But I also just love, one of my favorite things is, it's like in the very beginning of the show, but Piglet climbs up on Rabbit's fence and he just kind of walks. I love that fence. I wish Piglet spent more time on that fence, because
I know, and it's so cute. Like, you do such a great, like, you never cheat anything. Like, every step, like, Piglet, if you watch Piglet, he's taking every little step. He's, you could see his effort climbing on the, it's really, really cute just to watch Piglet.
Yeah. So, but he does get to climb the bridge a few times too, which is also very fun. But I particularly liked Rabbit, because also Rabbit has that one, it's like a diagonal post going down one side. And I just remember one time looking at it and I slid down and, you know, he like does a little slide and jumps off.
Yeah.
And my director was like, keep that in, keep it. Always do that. That's part of the track now.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's a perfect like little playground. Yeah. So this is Pop Culture Man Children. I love to hear about what people are like into and doing and stuff. So like, what are you like watching right now, reading right now? I know you're working a lot, but what are you into right now?
Yeah. Well, I'm a giant anime fan, and One Piece is my favorite. So I'm still with One Piece going strong. They're coming up on 1,000 episodes soon, which is insane. But yeah, I keep up with the manga. I read it every week, every time a new chapter comes out. But right now, actually, one of our Christopher Robins told me he should watch Demon Slayer. So I'm watching Demon Slayer. You know, that's like my
Demon
new
Slayer's
show.
Demon Slayer's cool. Demon Slayer's cool.
I really appreciate the sincerity of the main character.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I was like, yes, you will find a cure for your sister. He's really sweet. Right now, I'm reading, a friend gave it to me because I'm in Pooh. I'm reading The Tao of Pooh. Which is so charming. It's very cute. I'm like, oh, it's so interesting. So that's my current book that I'm reading. And I am watching weekly. I do enjoy British Bake Off. So
sure.
I'm watching that as well.
Is animation voice work something that you want to do?
I do. It's something that I definitely should get into. I have not gotten into it yet, but I would like to, because I'm just a big fan of all forms of animation. I really love cartoons. I love anime. I love claymation. I love stop motion. So yeah, that's something that I should definitely get into. It'd be fun to be a part of it as well.
Right, not just
a consumer, but a part of it.
Yeah. So let's talk Muppets, because you brought up Muppets before, and I'm a huge Muppets fan. Do you have a favorite Muppet?
Kermit.
Interesting. Interesting. Why Kermit?
I think there's a lot of nostalgia behind him, probably, which makes me, I know as a kid, it was definitely Gonzo who was my favorite. I think because he was just kind of like the weirdo and he was so funny. Just everything he does cracks me up. And he has so many just like funny, I love his like eyes, how expressive they are. But there is something, I think, so comforting about Kermit that like just makes you love him so much.
Yeah.
So I think the nostalgia has played a huge factor into like my love of Kermit. And especially like when I started getting into puppeteering, I like did a huge deep dive into Jim Henson and his life and his work and reading like different biographies. And I think that's also another reason why my heart, when somebody's like, who's your favorite? I'm like, it's Kermit.
So. Yeah, Kermit is so like Henson's ego, like it is his soul in a way.
Yeah, this might be blasphemous, but I think my favorite Muppet movie is Muppet's Christmas Carol.
That's not blasphemous. I feel like everyone says that.
I think also because that one was like, I mean, it was one of the first ones after Jim Henson.
Yeah, it's dedicated to him.
And Richard Hunt. I think he had passed away too. Mm. And I feel like it was also just like such a wholesome film. Retelling. Michael Caine as Scrooge is
it's
perfection.
The best version, Muppets or not, it's the best version of A Christmas Carol. Yeah. It's incredible. Michael Caine is great as Scrooge. The music, it's in the singing of a street corner choir. Yeah.
Going home and getting warm by the fire. Yeah, everything about it is just like... Yeah. Very perfect. And in that one, too, I feel like because Jim Henson had just passed away, they made Kermit just, like, so lovable.
Yeah.
And so, like, his little song that he sings with Robin as Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
They're, like, dancing. It's just, like, it just fills me with so much joy. And the One More Sleep Till Christmas is just, like,
It's such a good movie. It's such a fantastic movie. And we're coming up on the season for it. I watch it every year.
Oh yes, every Christmas season, at least twice or three or five times.
yeah. You know, you look at like old, speaking of the puppeteer hiding or not, you look at old interviews with Jim Henson and Kermit, and what's magical and bold is Jim Henson sometimes would put zero effort into hiding himself. He just knew that the kids would look at Kermit. Like, he'd just have Kermit there and he'd be, you know, it's not a ventriloquism. He's speaking. He's, you know, he's right there. This guy with a beard, but he just is also at the same time being Kermit, and little kids would almost like not even notice him. It's wild to see.
Yeah. And I think also part of that is, I think even when you think about it, like when you're playing as a child, you're often using little stuffed animals and dolls, and you're making them like talk and interact with each other and with your friends. And when you're playing as a kid, like I'm not looking at my friend who's like making their doll. You're like looking at the dolls. And so I feel like that, you know, it just like goes back to that of like, we know that there's somebody there. That's fine. But I'm just very interested in this character that's down here with me. And you would see there's also Mr. Rogers, you know, clips of him with children, you know, meeting kids, and bringing out Daniel Tiger, King Friday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they don't care.
No, they don't. They really don't.
Yeah. And I would say also, like, our audience members, we get a lot of adults that, you know, don't mind, and they're very excited. You know, sometimes some people get to, they've like gotten to meet the characters, and they're not really looking at us. They're looking straight at the characters, you know.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, we just want to talk to Pooh. We want to talk to Eeyore. We want to talk to Tigger. We want to talk to Piglet. So,
of course. but you know, even though they're not looking at you, it's got to be the greatest compliment, right? Because you're bringing that character to life, like really to life.
Yeah, yeah. I remember one lady. She said, "I hope I don't offend you, but I didn't even realize after a while that you were on stage." Because this was like afterwards when she was just like talking to just me, and so I didn't have a cover in front of me. She's like, "Yeah, I didn't even like notice you were there for a while." I was like, "That's actually the perfect compliment. Thank you."
Wow. Yeah. So you guys went to Comic-Con this year.
We did.
What was that experience?
I have always wanted to go to Comic-Con. I've never been able to. So it was so exciting that we were able to go, and we didn't really know what to expect.
Right.
And we kind of came, you know, they were like, oh, well, we're just going to kind of come in and we're going to walk around. And we came up with this idea that Piglet would ride on top of Eeyore. Just so because logistically, it just takes Piglet a much longer time to walk places than the other characters. So just that, so it wouldn't have been like, and Piglet is still walking. Piglet is almost there. We're like, let's just have Piglet with Eeyore so that we can, you know, not make people be like, oh, wow. It would just flow much better to have Piglet on top of Eeyore. Yeah, and it was so exciting. And one of the most special parts actually was, so my friend Emmanuel, he plays Eeyore. So actually everybody in the cast, we've kind of worked together. Christina, who plays Kanga, she's new. She's incredibly lovely and she's like such a great puppeteer. But for other people, I had worked on them with different projects before. And Emmanuel had done Caterpillar as well. So one of the other Rockefeller Productions is the Very Hungry Caterpillar Show, where we do different Eric Carle stories, and we always do Caterpillar last. And there was a man in the audience for the Q&A who came up, and he was like, I went to Caterpillar. And he like pointed at Emmanuel, and he's like, you were the Caterpillar, and it was like my daughter's first show. And we still use the photo we took together, like with you in it, for like Christmas cards, because she wants to use it for Christmas cards. And he was just like, and I can't believe you're now bringing up like another favorite childhood character for me that I'm going to be able to take my daughter to as well. And he was like, and I hope I get to take a picture with you then too. And it was just very sweet to see that. Yeah, it was very exciting. And the room was like in a buzz when we all came out. And then somebody took a video, and then it ended up on TikTok. And then one of our Tigger, he like reposted it. And then all of a sudden, it just like went insane with people watching this Comic-Con video and people messaging me, you know, being like, oh my God, I saw you were at Comic-Con and you're Piglet. Oh my gosh. And so like, it was pretty crazy. Like the response after Comic-Con was like, oh my gosh, this is like everybody's seeing this. So
wow,
it was really cool.
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, that makes total sense because, you know, Comic-Con is this place of like imagination and fantasy and stuff. Like,
yeah,
like, yeah, it's not superheroes or anything, but, you know, who doesn't love the Pooh characters?
I know. And you don't really have to be like a superhero to be somebody's hero. And I think the Pooh characters are, for a lot of people, they are kind of like their heroes, and they're definitely your friends. Like,
yes.
You know, like they're definitely your friends. And so I think meeting them, like especially at Comic-Con, we did like, you know, form a little line, and like there was a line of people and they did take pictures with us, and we made sure it was like COVID safe too, where we were kind of like in the background and they were a little bit, but a lot of people then would turn around, you know, and they were just like, this is so meaningful to me to like meet you.
Oh my
you.
God.
And we, as much as we can, we try to get people's names so that we could say, like, as the characters, like say their names.
I think
that's such a powerful thing to hear.
Yeah.
Name, you know, hear somebody say your name and how excited they are to see you. And so, like, you know, you can see people being like, oh my gosh, this is like everything I wanted that I didn't know I wanted. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. So those moments are like very, very special and just really cool. Yeah. And it's another time where you just, you're like, I feel so honored to be a part of the show, you know, to be like, and honored that like we're getting to touch these people's lives in such a very special and meaningful way.
You must be having such a wonderful time right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. It's also, I think the other thing too was the pandemic was like really hard, especially for like the theatrical community.
Yeah.
Because there was just a giant shutdown and nobody was working. You know, people were coming up with creative and fun ways to work, but nobody was doing like the thing that we really love doing is like performing on stage in front of a live audience, because like there's just a magic to that. And people who love theater, it's just such a special and incredible experience. You know what though? Like what an incredible show to open when the world opens back up. To have open for people to see.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is probably coming like at the perfect time of when people
I think
like, I do need something wholesome. Like I do need something joyful. and like comforting for my soul to be watching. Yeah. And so to have this show is, I feel like, such a gift to have after the pandemic.
So. Yeah, I think so. Well, I'll let you go, but I have one more question for you. I could tell you're kind of a nerd. In all of what character would you love to play? Be it creature, human, whatever it is, just because you've played a few classic characters now. What character would you absolutely love to perform?
Yeah, I think I would have to think about that one because, I mean, not to be cliche, but like Piglet's really up there. Piglet's a huge, I mean, like it's a real big dream of like a giant dream role. So getting to play this character is like just so thrilling and so exciting. But yeah, I'm trying to think of another character right now. I'm just too satisfied with my role right now. I guess, you know, I would, I really love Alice in Wonderland.
It
would be very fun. I know there's been like lots of different kinds of productions of Alice in Wonderland, but I'm like, it would be really fun to have one that's just truly, truly nonsensical. And it's just like full of puppets. And like, I think that would be really, a really cool show to do. That's just full of puppets and full of just like that crazy Wonderland world, which would be really fun. I have one. I know. It's Sophie from Howl's Moving Castle.
Okay.
Would love to be Sophie.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because I love the movie because I'm a huge Ghibli fan. And I love the books as well. I think they're very fun and funny. And I feel like Sophie is a very fun character. That would be a cool one to be.
Good answer. Well, Kirstie Moon, it's been such a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for coming on PCMC.
Thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure talking to you, too.
Well, you know, we end every episode of the show the same way. We quote Animal from The Muppet Babies. He says, go bye-bye at the end of every episode. I'd love for you to say go bye-bye. Now, if you want to say it in the Piglet voice, you can. You don't have to. I don't know what the legal ramifications are.
Oh, I think that's fine. Go bye-bye.